Jesus didn't have a problem with people that's in the streets. He had a problem with religious people.
How can I help anybody when I'm not even, when I was not even able to help my own son?
I would never do that. I would never do that. And I became that in a matter of minutes when they took my pain pills away.
And I said, I'm not where I want to be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be.
Ugh. This is Faith in Your Recovery. I am Randy Davis. Welcome to the battle. Thanks again for joining us or sticking with us through today's episodes. We've already done 8. This is episode number 9 of Jailhouse Recovery, coming to you from the Jay County Security Center / Jail in Portland, Indiana. This is a big event. This is probably one of the first times this has ever been done by a podcast nationwide. And here we are in Jay County, able to bring this to you thanks to the goodness of the sheriff, Ray Newton, his staff, the inmates here at the jail. Feel what you want about the inmates. They're human beings. They care. We care. We're glad to have this time together. We believe they have a wealth of information to share, and we're going to get into that here as we interview inmate number nine, not on any kind of grading system, but Andrew Bailey, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Randy.
It's good to have you. Andrew and I have known each other for a number of years. I know his mom quite well, and Andrew's been a part of the program I provide here through Better Life, Brianna's Hope, each Thursday, as I come in and share recovery information with the male inmates. Then Candy Sapp, another member of our group, comes in and takes care of the female inmates. The Christian Center out of Anderson, Indiana, their staff has been here today to help us through all of this. We couldn't have done it without them. We greatly appreciate all that they provided. So, Andrew, let's get into your story. Go ahead and tell the folks about early childhood, early life, what it was like for you.
I had a pretty good childhood. My parents were very supportive, loving, was raised well, Christian parents and wealthy parents, you know, couldn't really have much to complain about. So,
okay. When did life start to go downhill for you?
Probably my teenage years when I started, I guess, introducing myself to drugs, really. So,
how did that come about? How'd you first get started?
I'd say mostly in high school, just kind of randomly running across it and making the wrong decisions and, you know,
the people, places, and
right.
things.
Yep.
We have worn out that phrase today, but there's no better phrase to describe it. So, what was your first drug that you used?
My very first drug actually was like an inhalant when I was really young. You know, just something I guess I was bored with and tried because I'd heard that it would intoxicate you. So, yeah.
And how long did you use that?
I just tried it once time for the
just
hurt.
One
yeah.
time, but yeah. that was your first introduction.
Yep.
Okay, yeah. What was the first drug or the next drug?
Marijuana.
Marijuana.
Yep.
How far did you go with that? How long did you use it? How often?
I went pretty far with it, pretty to the point that it was daily, up until February this year.
Okay, so that's been for a number of years, obviously.
Yep.
How long?
Oh, over a decade and a half.
So. Okay. Did that first come about through friends using and you decided to join in with them, or was it otherwise?
Pretty much, yeah. Mostly friends.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, just that party scene, hey, try this, type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Were there other drugs than that, than the inhalant and the marijuana?
Yeah, I'd battled with all sorts of different types of drugs, you know, including like opioids, and I'd messed around with heroin and cocaine and methamphetamine, all of that. I kicked all the hard drugs about 10 years ago and then thought I had my addiction beat and thought that I could, you know, coast by managing my life with alcohol. But that hit me just as hard as all the other drugs did. So
yeah. You know. Yeah. So you were very susceptible, it sounds like, to whatever drug you were using. It could knock you down pretty quick and get a hold of you pretty fast.
Right. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. What were some of the dark moments during that time? Those dark spots, those real, yeah.
Back in like probably 2012 when I was using heroin, you know, I found out that I came in contact with hepatitis C. And I had to get cured of that, and it was just a really bad part of my life where I was doing awful things to the people that I loved, you know, just to come about getting the drug, getting myself into trouble, getting myself in a horrible hole that I didn't think I could ever get out of, didn't even know if I could ever get off the drug or ever feel like myself again. So that was just a horrible point of my life. But I did manage to get out of that hole, but then slowly got back into it with alcohol, you know, back in February, just feeling about the same way. And took myself to a rehab facility and not knowing if, you know, my addiction or if sobriety was going to kill me because I just felt lost with my addiction again. So
what was it that took you back to the alcohol?
I think ultimately it was depression, anxiety. A lot of it was like losing a family member. So kind of tried to cope with that in wrong ways.
Yes, yes. Plus, unfortunately, alcohol has that availability.
Yeah, that instant.
The other drugs are easy to get to, but not quite as simple as alcohol, mm-hmm. where you can walk in the store and buy it and walk away. What was it that made you think you could rise above it? What gave you hope to believe that you could become sober, that you could become clean, that you could live the kind of life that you were created for?
Probably my faith in God, and I knew that my kids deserve it, really. I mean, I've always had a hope and dream to be a good father, and I realized how much I'd messed up with all my drinking, and I just knew that it's time to finally get it right.
Get it together.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. How many kids, Andrew?
Three.
Okay. How old are they?
I got two soon to be 9 and 8, and one that is 6.
Okay. All right. We've heard more than once today, they're the sustaining force that many of you need in order to give you a new outlook, a positive outlook, a reason to put it behind you. So, yeah. And you've talked more than once about your faith being a part of your recovery. What is it about your faith that has helped see you through?
It's something that I can always hold on to. Even being in here, you know, waiting in the drunk tank to be transported somewhere when I feel like I have nothing, just a meal a day or something, I have that relationship with Christ that I can just pray to get me through to the next day.
You know, I'm convinced we may disappoint him, but he never turns his back on us, whether it's a drunk tank or a tall cathedral. There are people in the cathedral and in the small church and every place else with their fault, their struggles. They just may not be incarcerated, but they're living in their own jail, their own prison. Trying to live with that and live above it. What do you see as the next step for you to move forward?
I have a lot of plans. There's a lot of steps that are going to be taking in process. I mean, I know. I think IU Health is going to be a big part of my life when I get out of here. It's going to be a lot of help for me to be like an outpatient there. Finding a support system, being part of Brain as Hope is a lot of help. Finding NA and an AA group that I can feel like part of my home. A good sponsor to help me get through my, or to continue through my addiction throughout my life, and just always knowing that my addiction is good. It's on that I'm not, it's not, that I'm powerless to it. It's something I'm going to have to continue to strive to be every day, always. So.
Yeah. You kind of answered one of my other questions, your strategies, but you just said here and listed those as far as getting involved with several different groups, IU Health Center, and so on. So you've got that in front of you. I hope you research those steps to get you into it to where you can take full advantage of it for certain. I don't know your family well. I know parts of it better than I know others. What do you feel the support level is you get from them? Are they trying to understand your life, or they, do you feel like you've been discarded? You start off by saying you had a good life, you know, in the beginning. Do you still feel that same support and love?
Yeah, I feel they're understanding. I feel they're supporting and loving. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. That's big. We need that. We need to be encouraged to carry on with that. Through all this battle, through all your struggles, what do you believe is the biggest lie you've told yourself?
That my addiction was manageable. You know, that I wasn't powerless over it, I think.
Okay, and that's a big step for certain. What is it that you believe right now in your life, at this point, you can offer to others as far as helping them? Or let me rephrase it. Why'd you want to be a part of this today? I know I didn't twist your arm. Mm-hmm. So why did you want to be a part of this today?
I didn't want to, but I felt like I kind of needed to in a way.
Explain that. I needed to.
Well, I knew Brianna very well, and I think it's amazing just what's come through out of her life and out of her story. And also, I just hope that maybe something that I share will help somebody. And I guess if anything I can say is if somebody's out there thinking of getting help, quit thinking about it and just stop, even if they have to stop everything they're doing to go get it. I mean, there's so many times that I just didn't want to stop doing what I was doing, whether it was working or seeing my kids or, you know, just anything.
Always had other priorities, right? Instead of making self the priority to where you could even be a better person for all those other individuals.
Yeah.
I appreciate your comment about knowing Brianna. Folks, just so you know, when we speak of Brianna, this podcast, Faith in Your Recovery, this particular series of podcasts, Jailhouse Recovery, all fall under the umbrella of A Better Life, Brianna's Hope, or 501c3. We speak of how we, you know, we're there for that struggler. We're there for anybody dealing with their addiction. We'll believe in you before you believe in yourself. We'll take your raw, real, and sloppy. Brianna was a young lady from Dunkirk, Indiana, who at the age of 25, after starting her drug issue in the seventh grade, by the time she was a senior, she was a full-blown heroin addict. There wasn't anything that, let me rephrase that. By the time she was a senior, there wasn't anything she hadn't tried. By the time she was 25, she was a full-blown heroin addict. She disappeared. Her body was found 10 weeks later on Labor Day of 2014 in an abandoned cemetery covered over with brush. It had been there, they believed, for all of that time, but her family clearly understood her addiction issues, and I started following along with the family, trying to give them hope and encouragement and just some ministry. We became very close. They gave us full-fledged carte blanche permission to share Brianna's story. We've done that. We've started the organization. We're a faith-based organization for those battling the battle with substance use disorder. So when Andrew speaks of knowing her, that goes back to our very basic who we are, who we were about, and we've tried to carry on her legacy, her struggle to become clean, and that's where we're at. So what do you see yourself being able to offer to others as far as those who might be in the throes of addiction? What kind of advice, where would you tell them to turn? I know you just said if you're thinking of doing something, do it. It's better to try it and find out you got to try something else than not try it. So, yeah.
There's a lot of things out there that can be helpful. I know with alcohol, naltrexone's been helpful for me. As simple as seeing your primary physician can be helpful. Going to NAAA classes can be helpful. I did try all of those things originally. It was helpful, but it didn't cut it for me.
Is that because you weren't committed to them? It's one thing to go and accept what's being said. It's another thing to go and to live what's being said.
Yeah, I think what it ultimately comes down to is the realization that being powerless to the addiction, you know, because I didn't realize that until I actually got into the inpatient program that I did. And it took me a 3-month course to get to the point that I'm at. So,
okay. How long have you been clean, Andrew?
Just a little over 5 months.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
You know, I've always said sometimes people say something like just 30 days. Well, you can't get to 100 days if you don't get to 30. Right. And you can't get to a year if you can't get to 6 months. So there's no just about it. Every day clean is a day lived in positivity with more hope than you had before. And you live one day clean, you've got a better chance to live too. So we'll accept that at that grassroots level. Describe not your lowest point, but that point to where you felt the best about yourself, where you finally go, you know, I'm worth this. I'm worth being sober. I'm worth being clean.
I think it was kind of really during like a Reiki section in Indiana Center for Recovery. I had lost my faith in Christ kind of at this point. And the lady asked me to like close my eyes and like just ask myself like who loves you and who's going to love you forever and care for you forever. And she did like her little mumbo jumbo stuff or whatever. But I just, for some reason, I felt the overcoming the spirit come over me. You know, I just felt his spirit again. And then
we all need that. Yeah. Refresh.
It'd been a long time since I'd felt the Holy Spirit in my soul. Like, so it was an awakening for me. So,
yeah. What, Andrew, what's the advice you want to give to folks? I know you've been doing that all through this, but specifically give them a statement or a paragraph of advice.
Don't give up. No matter how they're feeling, everybody's worth it. You know, there's always somebody out there that loves you.
What would you tell parents who are dealing with an Andrew of their own? going through similar circumstances?
Probably the same thing. Don't give up on them. Always have, just show them faith, provide them with courage.
That unconditional love as well.
Yep.
And it's a concern because there's always a fine line between loving, caring, providing, and enabling. But you've got to learn where that line is. If they can do it for themselves, don't do it for them. Simple rule of all therapy and counseling, we cripple them. We slow them up in the end if we're doing for them what they could do for themselves. What would you... Oh, hold on a minute. We've got a question over here. We want to break to that. Go ahead. Please share it. Desi?
Alrighty, you were asked, in what ways do you encourage yourself every day?
Good question.
Probably through prayer. Mostly just through prayer. I think about my kids, and I remind myself that they need the love of a father, that they deserve more than what I've given them in the past, and that I'm capable of giving them more.
Okay. We've got a follow-up question as well. Go ahead. Hit us with that, please. Scott?
This is from Desi. How is your relationship with your family right now?
With my immediate family, my relationship is... I would say it's very well.
In a good spot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I probably know Andrew's mother better than I know anybody else in the family just through years of conversation, well beyond any addiction issues or anything. But certainly since you've been into your struggles and all, I would be surprised if I'd have heard anything else because I know what she's proclaimed. I know what I've seen her live, and she's continued to follow through with that. And, folks, we know it's moments to where sometimes you fight your pride because you're losing your pride over it. But in your child, worth it? In your spouse, worth it? Your brother, your sister, whatever the case may be. Stay at it. Be that encourager. Be that one who builds them up and lifts them up to where they get back to all that God has created them to be. So, Andrew, we're getting short here on time. What would you like to share that we haven't touched? Anything you want to say, advice you want to give, thank yous you want to shout out? Is there anything in that nature?
Not particularly, no, but I just appreciate the time.
Well, we appreciate your willingness to come and share, to open yourself up. It's a vulnerable situation. It puts you on the line, but we hope it also acts as a reminder to you. I told those folks I was going to do this. I've got to get it done. So we don't say that in a way to create guilt, but in a way to just hold us accountable, which will. All need addiction or not. So thank you again for joining us here on the Faith in Your Recovery podcast for our Jailhouse Recovery series. We continue to wish you good luck. I'll see you again in class here before too long, okay?
All right, thank you.
Thank you. God bless. Folks, hang in there and hold on. We've got a couple more interviews here today. And you're going to have about 7 hours of binge listening, binge watching. Thank you for your questions, your comments, your involvement. God bless. Take care. Stay in the battle. Amen.